The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis, with your host, Suzanne Z. Pedro. This program will catapult your awareness in the mastery of power, influence, and persuasion. Journey to the uncharted conversations of human interactions and discover your winning capital. Now, from the boardroom to the bedroom with Suzanne Z. Pedro.
Good day, everybody. So today, I'm just going to give you a little preview of a guest. Remarkable. Very few people in the world have this technical ability, and it's about memories. Our memories are very powerful. If I were to ask you, like, what did you do last week on Monday? What did you wear? What was the weather like? Maybe some of y'all could do it. But what if I asked you, gave you a random date, and said, what was that day like? What did you do? What did you wear? What was the conditions? Not a lot of people can do that. And to be able to have what I'm going to let my guest say the technical word, but it's called highly superior autobiographic memory, excuse me. And my guest is one of the very few documented out of 56 people out of the University of California that has this fabulous ability. But with this ability, sometimes we have good memories and we have bad memories. So I want to ask my guest, Mr. Frank Healy, is this a curse or is this a gift? So I'm so happy to welcome this most powerful, inspiring man, Mr. Frank Healy. Hi, Frank. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very well, and it's good to be on your show.
Oh, thank you. And I want to let everybody also know what you do with the, you just don't randomly do memories, that you actually a licensed counselor, and we'll discuss your books and your new book coming up. But tell everybody, like, what's it like and how did this begin?
Well, I first discovered that I had the ability to remember what happens on every day when I was not quite 6 years old, and I just turned 65 last Thursday.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. Yes, and started when it was the week of Monday, February 28th to March 4th, 1966. I was homesick from kindergarten with chicken pox, too sick really to be even up playing with toys. And it just so happened that my uncle down the street had given me a calendar for that year. And what I did was, like many six-year-olds, I knew the primetime TV lineup. So what I did was, for each date, I looked at the block for the whole year. I used mix-ups that week. I looked at the block of each date and formed a picture of what would be on primetime TV and imagined it in the block, and then played the coming-on tune in my head, such as, pick a date like October 19th, okay, Wednesday, and I pictured Batman and played then in my head. And so that by the end of the week, I suddenly realized that I had the entire year memorized as far as any date that year, what day of the week it had been or was going to be. And then it went on for the next years, all day long. As I lived my life, I made mental notes about what day it was. So I, remembered weather, remembered what happened to me in school or otherwise, vacations, and if there was significant news that I heard about, I remembered it. Of course, in later years, any news that I missed as a kid, I would often learn about different things through reading, but the date that anything happened always stuck with me. So,
Frank, some of the research that I've done, and it said people with, what is the technical word that you...
Hyperthymesia.
Okay, and the researchers like to just say HSAM, correct?
Yes, that's an acronym that the university created, meaning highly superior autobiographical memory.
And they found among the brain differences between people that have your ability and that they don't, that there's highly more white matter in the brain. But they couldn't determine whether that was because you had the ability or it was something that happened in your childhood. And I'm not sure if you have a close-knit group with the people that have this, but I also heard Mary Lou Hanna did the same thing from Taxi. When she was younger, she played these games and thinking that with the neuroplasticity in your mind, that you were able to make your mind able to form these new neurons and this memory. Has anybody ever discussed that with you?
Well, the first 12 of us, Mary Lou Henner was one of them, but they actually brought us to the university. I mean, some of the subjects, they just did it by Skype and phone. So the first 12 of us actually got a CAT scan of our brains, and they did find that parts of the frontal lobes are about a ratio of 6 to 10. Like, the average person would be 6 and ours would be 10. So we do have more gray matter in our brains, and perhaps surprisingly, up until I was in that research in 2011, Wednesday, February 9th was the day I went, and I thought it was something that I had developed, and to some extent I did, but you know, I realized that I had the natural ability, too, from what they determined about our brain sizes, and I have befriended some of the others who were in the study. Like, when I was there at the university, it was just me. They did this individually. But I've befriended some of the others, and we have more or less different degrees of it. Like, some only go back to age 13 or 14, and I go back to age 6. And some can and some can't do these mental gymnastics. Like, I know the calendar back to September 14th, 1752, because that's when we adopted the Gregorian calendar. So I can do some, I compare years in order to do it. And it's interesting, at one point during my studies, they asked me a date during my lifetime and a date way before my life. They asked me Sunday, March 12th, 2006, and I remember visiting, it was a Sunday, I know, and I remember visiting a friend in Wildwood, New Jersey. I live on the Jersey coast. And then they asked me December 17th, 1835, and I thought, okay, 2015, 1987, 1931, so are all years similar to that. So I very quickly figured out it was a Thursday.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. I also understand that you're able to do future calendar. Like, is it up to the year 2999?
Yes, I can tell you the day of the week that any day will fall in the future. Now, some people have asked me, can I also tell the weather or what's going to happen, like Nostradamus? I mean, I'm not that good, but I do know the day of the week. any day will fall.
So, do you have memories, like you said, you started around 5 or 6, does it go back to, like, memories when you were in infancy or toddlers, really, like, you know, definitive?
Yes, well, even though my day of the week memory goes back to February 28th, 1966, Monday, I have memories without knowing what date it was back to age 1 and a half. when I remember singing, that was when the song Moon River by Andy Williams was popular, and I remember singing it with my mom. And I remember waking up one Christmas morning when I was two. I was still in the crib, and I guess I was lucky I was too young to know the difference here, but they didn't let me out of the crib until they had demonstrated in the room how to play with all the toys I had. And so I was just so excited. I was not impatient or anything.
Oh, great. Well, Frank, we got to go to a quick break right now. So we'll be back with extraordinary guest, memory expert, highly superior memory. Okay. With Frank Healy. Thank you. We'll be right back.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Have you ever noticed that sometimes life just feels easier, especially when judgment of you or anyone else ceases to exist? What if you could function from that space all the time? What if gratitude is the key? Every time you are grateful for someone or something, a new universe opens up. What difference can you create in your life and the world from the energy, space, and consciousness of gratitude? Join us on Access Consciousness presents Beyond Saying Thank You every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Are you a business innovator, or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, everyone. We're back with Frank Healy, author of Heal Your Memories, Change Your Life. And if anybody can talk about memories, and I'm talking about not just some memories, but highly superior memories. Welcome back, Frank.
Yes, it's good to be back.
Good to have you back. I can't imagine. We're going to get a little bit later into some of the exercises that you're going to try to teach me how to heal. And a lot of people have traumatic memories. And also knowing that, you know, you're a licensed professional counselor and life coach, these traumatic memories sometimes go into post-traumatic stress disorders. Is that not correct?
No, that is correct. A lot of times when people are abused, either physically, verbally, sexually, or maybe they were in a car accident, and they can have a lot of anxiety and mistrust and anger. And now, when you've had a traumatic memory, the first month afterward, it's called acute stress disorder. Then it becomes post-traumatic stress. And sometimes this can go on for years and years if you haven't healed from it.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I had like 2004, my house burned down to the ground. I lost six of my animals, saved my mother, but lost everything. And it's you try to fight it, but those memories, that occurrences, the noise, the smells, anything visceral, that the sound of the alarm and everything, it comes back. So how do you begin to teach somebody to, I mean, what, you have such a gift, but also, I mean, some people could say it's a curse, because, I mean, you've had to live through good times and bad times. So how did you yourself deal with that?
Well, it's true that a lot of times when I first tell people about my memory, many of the first reactions is that's great to be able to remember every good time you ever had and every great thing in your life. But the corollary of that is also true, that I remember all the negative things, such as, you know, bad days at school growing up and the romantic breakups and even just days where there are a lot of petty annoyances, and recalling those things with the same emotional intensity as if they were happening right now. So that's the reason I became interested in psychology and helping people. I needed to learn how to, if I can't let go of the memories, I can at least let go of the feelings associated with the negative ones. And go ahead.
Frank, when you get these memories, are they visceral? Does the sights, the sounds, the smells come back to you also?
Yes, they do to some extent. Probably not every single detail. Like if there was a room with a lot of things in it, I wouldn't remember every single thing that was in the room. But what does come back are, well, the things I found more significant about it, what I heard, maybe what I felt like, and, you know, if the word, smells are very powerfully linked to memories. Sometimes you can recall something better through having a similar smell than you can from looking at a picture. So a lot of these things do come back, and now when I remember something, of course, I've learned over the years to some ways to let go, which I feature as exercises in my book, Heal Your Memories, Change Your Life.
Well, like you said, I mean, one of the big, I think, fragrances, perfume, is a powerful impact to bring back memories. I mean, some people can remember their grandmother's scent or their boyfriend's scent after years, or my husband's scent after years. So dealing with memory, it's very impactful.
Yes, it is. And then you, when you remember the scents or anything else about it, the sights, the sounds, and, you know, when you remember all that, a lot of the feelings come back too, how you felt when you were there. Like if it was a memory with something nasty or unpleasant going on, you might get a little annoyed or angry or depressed or anxious when you recall the memory. But if it was a scent of a good time, such as grandma cooking your favorite dish, then you probably get really pleasant sensations, as if you were there right now and still a kid at grandma's.
I was also told when selling a house, you should have like fresh baked cookies or, you know, some aroma to bring back those powerful sensations of I'm getting your oxytocin going, that loving feeling. So it's not just, it's physiological, besides, you know, brain function and mental too, correct?
Yes, well, that's right, because one thing that we're all pretty good at as far as thinking is associating things with each other. Like all the things can come back under a similar situation. And similarly, if you recall some things maybe a day on a vacation you went on 10 or 11 years or even 20 years ago. It's likely then it'll start popping into your head some recollections of other dates on that, other days of that vacation, as well as other memories of other vacations. So we all link things up very well.
So, Frank, do you use more or less keywords or events? How do you process?
Well, a lot of how do I process things?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of the time, I'll make these connections in my head. Like today is my niece's 14th birthday, and I was in Stone Harbor, New Jersey, where I was earlier today, that same day. Only that day I was working a part-time job at an art gallery. Today I was doing some gardening at my mother-in-law's and swimming in the ocean. And then something else will occur to me, like, I remember the last time May 26th fell on a Tuesday. It was kind of an annoying day because I had a problem renewing my malpractice license. And I can really, so a lot of May 26th things come up.
Well, how do you correlate the weather with, the events in that day to remember?
Well, a lot of times the weather, the weather all becomes part of the way I categorize a date. Like I'll remember that, I remember that date today in 2009, the last Tuesday, was a rainy day around here. And, and sometimes, so the weather will all be included in my picturing of a date and what happened. And I'm also good with extremes, like, remembering the exact dates of things like Superstorm Sandy, Monday, October 29th, 2012. And if you're in Louisiana, Amber Katrina hit on Monday, August 29th, 2005.
Correct. Absolutely. Aren't those called like flashbulb moments when there's something that's unique and public? Like a lot of people would always say, where were you when JFK was killed? And those flashbulb moments, a lot of people are able to carry that with them, but nothing on the scale of what you do. So, if I gave you a date right now, would you be able to tell me what happened?
Yes, I can tell you. If there was a big news event, I could tell you that. Otherwise, but I can always tell you the day of the week and what I was doing and what the weather was where I was.
Okay, well, I'm going to throw this one out at you. August 31st, 1997.
Okay, that was a Sunday, and it was still Saturday the 30th here, but it was a little after midnight in France where Princess Diana was killed in her car crash.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's phenomenal. You even got the time change, from the U.S. to over in Europe. Okay, yeah. Let's see. Okay, what about February 7th, 2010?
Okay, that was a Sunday, and it was the day after the East Coast where I was had just had a 20-plus inch blizzard, and then we had another one 3 days later on Wednesday the 10th, and that was the day the New Orleans Saints won the Super Bowl.
You got it!
Well, that's right. It was probably exciting for you, your home team.
Absolutely. So, I think we're getting ready to go to break right again. So, we'll be back with this incredible, incredible mind and memory, Frank Healy. We'll be right back.
build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Are you ready to move to your next level? Listen for Empowering Women, Transforming Lives with host Rebecca Hall Greider. Each show will focus on a central topic with discussion, guests, and your questions being featured. Our show is perfect for women who feel a call in their heart to step out in a bigger, more powerful way in their life and just need some encouragement, inspiration, and practical steps to support them on their journey. Empowering Women, Transforming Lives can be heard live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Empowerment.
Build a better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis at gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, we're back with Frank Healy, who is extraordinary in memory, not extraordinary, but superior memory, remembering every day of his life since he was 6 years old, and can go from the calendar from before Way he was born, 1700s, to 2999, and it's just remarkable talking to him. I welcome you back, Frank.
Yes, well, it's good to be back.
Oh, good. So, have you ever had a day that you don't remember?
No, I really don't have a day that I don't remember. And interestingly, when you were talking before about flashbulb memories, well, to me, every day is like a day that regular people have flashbulb memories, because yeah, I just remember every day, even the dates that aren't that too out of the ordinary, like a day maybe that I just went to work and it was partly cloudy, and yeah, I remember every day with the intensity of how some people might only remember the flashbulb memories or significant days in their life, such as weddings, graduations, and all.
Right. Does it ever... Do you ever get overwhelmed with the sensations?
Well, I think when I was younger, I did. But as many people, when you get older, you learn how to control it more. Because I know if I'm starting to get an intense feeling, I can decide what I want to do with it, whether I want to continue with it, or so it helps to just intentionally think about something else, either something neutral or something more positive. So
you learned how to diffuse it.
Right.
And I think that's what your book's about, different exercises helping people. I know diffuse will get rid of the bad memories, but does it also help people get the good memories back?
Yes, I think it's, you know, when you recall some good memories, getting back to the idea of how we link things up in our head, it, a lot of times good memories that you haven't thought about for a long time will pop up. Now, it certainly helps, like such things, if your parents or if you have older siblings that are, if your parents are still alive, it's like, you know, to ask them about, maybe look at old pictures. That's an obvious way to get good memories coming back to you, and then it was also, You know, another thing would be to just recall a lot of positive memories, and then some additional ones tend to pop up in your head. Maybe not right at that moment, but maybe within the next day or so, other memories will pop up that were like it.
Well, I've heard people say, like, oh, I had an excellent childhood. I know one bad, but I can't remember any details about it. Is that a good thing? Or because it was so good that there was not anything that really, you know, that every day was a good day and nothing stood out that was traumatic or way over the top. Well, you know, when people ask me that, I really have no answer. I mean, what would you say to that?
Well, I would say a lot of times, the feelings can crop up before the details of the memory do. So if somebody feels generally good about their childhood, I mean, even if they might remember one little thing about it, like that was good, like a good friend they used to play with, or, you know, school dances or fun times with the family, if they just dwell on that for a little bit, other memories tend to crop up then and get more specific to them.
Wow. And what happened when your family and your friends, when you first came forward and they noticed that you had this unbelievable skill, gift? What was the reaction?
Well, I think my parents and close relatives knew about it pretty early on, because I was a kid. Once I got interested in dates, and I talked about it a lot. Like, oh, on this date, hey, this weather is just like it was on May 7th and the 26th. And so they knew. So they knew it was interesting, that I had something going on there. And for a lot of years, I think they just took it for granted. But then when I was in eighth grade, they were planning to have a talent show on the last day of school. And, you know, I was watching some of the rehearsals of the kids who were going to sing or do magic, and I thought, hey, why don't I get something together and display my memory? And I tried out, and it was all over the school that day that I could do that, Thursday, June 6, 1974.
Oh, my God, okay.
Yeah, so suddenly the faculty, in fact, I remember when my social studies teacher, a history teacher, we should say, when he found out about it that day, he actually left the classroom and went to the office to talk to the principal and the guidance counselors about, do you know this guy has this extraordinary memory? And so, of course, 4 days later, on Monday, June 10th, I was on the stage trying out, and the vice principal called me aside and said that it's really a great gift that you have, but we don't think some of these younger kids and some of the more derelict kids in the school would appreciate it, so I don't think you should be in this show.
Oh, how disappointing.
Yeah, it was disappointing, but like one thing I've learned to do to cope in life is to, and this is what my next book is about, finding meaning and growing from your disappointing and traumatic memories, is to learn something from it. Like, and perhaps ironically, that made me even more determined to do something with my gift.
Wow. Now, is your gift different than somebody with a photographic memory?
Yes, it is different. Like, many of us, myself included, have tried, like, counting cards and memorizing faces. In fact, they gave some of those kinds of tests also when I was at the University of California. And I only scored average in in those tests. So it's, I would not be in New York for the U.S. Memory Championships or in Cambridge where they have the World Championships. Because my memory is more like, if you showed me 100 faces with names underneath them and then took it away and showed the faces without the names, I would probably just do as well as any average person on it. So it's really not photographic. It's more episodic memory is superior, remembering episodes in my life.
Okay, so like if you went to a networking event and, you know, everybody has trouble when, you know, your mind's elsewhere to introduce somebody and the next 3 seconds their name's out your you know, repertoire memory. So that's not one of your fortes?
That's not really one of my fortes. I would tend to remember more at a networking event. I tend to remember more things about the person, like whom they work for, what they do, and even whether they're married or not, and how many kids they have, where they live. But now there are some mnemonic tricks for remembering names, but there are other memory experts who have published them in their books.
But what you said is, you know, important, because somebody could have a really good, you know, remembering names, but then they have no clue where they remembered them, they were married, how many kids, where they worked. So, I mean, you know, your gift's still, you know, out there and going. I mean, at a networking event, I mean, I can tell you so many, you know, executives wish they had, you know, just a partial bit of what you can remember. And I always tell that, you know, go, you know, take it, go and write it down on a piece of paper right afterwards and just file it. But that's not remembering it, so. But anyway. So let's see if I think of another date. I hope you're not getting upset with me, but I just think this is remarkable.
Well, why would I be getting upset with you? I'm having fun.
I just did. What was the date of the O.J. Simpson car chase, the Bronco, the big, big thing on TV?
Oh, that was the evening of Friday, June 17th, 1994. The murder had committed on Sunday the 12th, and that was the 17th.
You just blow my mind. I mean, it's just, and I like to tell my audience, you only one of 56 people that the University of California has classified you as HSAM, right?
That's right.
Wow. And do you know if there's, like, globally or, I mean, is it just... I'm sure there's other people around the world, but I don't know what the statistics are.
Yeah, so this is the only study that's been done on this specifically, but as far as I know, all the ones I know are Americans, and all but two or three of them are adults. Now, last year on Sunday, April 20th, Easter night, they had two boys who were 11 years old on 60 Minutes who have the gift. And it was interesting watching that, because the little boy, they asked him about a vacation date. And then he said, so what happened a year ago the same date? And he looks and he likes hesitant to say it because he had his parents on there. But then finally he said, oh, that was a bad day. Dad really yelled at me.
Oh,
so it was kind of like, you know, that's proof of the pudding, that we remember the negatives as well as the positives.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. I can imagine you probably, I'm not talking about counseling issues, but I mean, do you have a lot of demand from calls from people like, they need to know, like, they couldn't remember and they need to know what happened on this specific date? Do you get inquiries like that?
Yes, I do get inquiries, like, with their life. Like, somebody once asked me what the moon phase was on a night that they had a traumatic experience as a 5-year-old, because they were trying to piece it all together. So
wow.
It was... So I get, and sometimes my clients, they want to know as much as they can about their past and how it's, and I say, well, we can go through that part of the time, but what's really important is how it affects you now.
That's so true. What about, do you ever work in, has law enforcement contact you for criminal cases?
Well, I've never had that, but I do know that when you get witnesses from, say, a car crash or a robbery or something or a mugging, everybody around's witness is slightly different because they bring different things to it, how upset they were watching it, their own background, whether they've seen something like that before, all affect how they perceive, and even from what angle they saw it from can affect that. So I know there was the show before Unforgettable, which was originally based on us, this police detective Carrie Wells, who had this hyperthymesia or HSAM, and she could recall, she always solved mysteries by looking at going to the scene of the crime afterwards and picking up clues, and there were scenes where she remembered certain dates and what happened and would get emotional about it.
Yeah, I could see it would be very valuable, especially like with weather conditions. Like if the evidence, if it rained that day where it dissipated all the evidence, or I could see where you could be very, very valuable in that certain circumstance.
Yes, I could see that because sometimes there was a, you know, if a witness is saying it was sunny, but I was able to say, no, it was raining in that town that day, that could be a real good witness.
Absolutely, absolutely. You'd be a perfect expert witness. They would have to introduce you and get you qualified, but I don't think you have any problems with that at all. So let me ask you right before we go to break, we have about 2 minutes, how did you apply your memory before you became a counselor and life coach?
Well, sometimes I'd entertain at parties for a little bit of money where people, and it was a good deal because, you know, I'd just spend a few minutes entertaining people. They'd ask me dates and I'd tell them the day of the week and what happened. And then I'd get paid and get to be at a party the rest of the night. And, you know, and then I would, you know, I did write a couple books previous to this, Living with a Phenomenal Memory is my memoir of how I do it and all, and it includes some all the mental gymnastics that I did. Now, I wrote that book mostly to send to universities and places they were researching. In fact, I sent that to the University of California when I heard about the study. And then I did write one book on memory improvement that's only available on Amazon Kindle. It's called Memory Quiz, What Type of Learner Are You? And
wow.
It's about, first there's an exercise in finding your sense that you use the most of any, because everybody is either primarily visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. And then I have chapters for each type of learner on how to improve your memory.
Okay, we're going to stop right here because we got to go to a quick break. And we'll be back with Frank Healy.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
Like so many others, do you put on a game face to the world? The stress of home life, work life, and personal life converge on us on practically a daily basis. Yet, so rarely do we let others see our real selves. And we carry on like we don't have a single problem. We need to connect and to find out we're not alone. Tune into Stories from the Heart of Leadership with host Shamin Sadek to find out not only what's been created, but the story behind it. Listen live every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Become a member of VoiceAmerica.com. It's easy and best of all, it's free. Start out by going to our homepage or any of our channels and click register at the top. Once you've created an account and signed in, you can create your own custom library, opt into our newsletter, Search by show, host, guest, or topic of interest, or browse millions of hours of content across all of our Voice America radio channels. Membership gets you more. Visit voiceamerica.com today to get started and tailor the listening experience to your taste.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hey, everybody. We're back with Frank Healy, and I'm going to test my audience. Do you remember everything he said? He said a lot, and he knows a lot. So welcome back, Mr. Healy. Hi, Frank.
Hello.
Okay. I just have to ask out of curiosity, what did you major in college, and did that help you? Your gift?
Well, I started and ended college with a psychology major, but in between was poli-sci, history, economics, and a minor in English, because I also like writing. And I might have gone the history route if I thought there were more opportunities in it, because when I used to read the when I did have history classes and they would put a date something happened on in the textbook, I'd sit there and think, why didn't they put the day of the week that it happened on? I could tell them that.
Okay, well, I think we were, during break, we were going to discuss about, like, healing memories and exercises. Did you see Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind? And what about just forgetting the past and moving on when something traumatic happens? What is your suggestions? Let's go in that realm about getting rid of the bad memories, traumatic.
Okay, well, I think I have a copy of my book here, Heal Your Memories, Change Your Life, and I thought we could do an exercise that's called Flooding the Negatives with Positives.
Okay. Are we going to do it together?
Yes, we'll do it together.
Okay.
All right, now, the first part of this, okay, the first step would be think of a memory that you have mixed feelings about. Maybe it was a vacation you went on that, on the one hand, it was fun, but maybe you had some arguments with the people you were with, or something that was mixed. Maybe your team made it to the championship but then lost, or a memory like that. Maybe.
Does it have to be mixed? Why can't it be just bad?
Well, because this involves, or right, so another option might be, pick a bad memory, but also pick a good memory.
Okay.
Do both of them.
Okay.
It might actually be easier to think of two of those two.
Okay.
Okay. Now, think of the negative aspect of the memory. What was negative about it? And give the feeling that you have when you recall the incident a rating on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 means you don't feel any negativity, so none of you should write 1, I mean, if you have any feelings. And 10 means you're totally anxious, depressed, or angry when you recall the memory.
Mm.
Even if you just have a 4 or a 5, this exercise will still help you.
Do I have to divulge my memory?
No, you don't have to.
Okay.
Because everybody listening can pick their own.
Okay, great. Okay.
I've got it. Now, think of at least 5 good things about the memory. Or if you picked a bad and a good, think of at least 5 good things about the good memory. And even if you just get 2 or 3, that's still good.
Okay.
Okay, now, close your eyes and imagine the memory or memories. First, imagine the part that was not so good, even if that part happened later than the good part. And spend only a few seconds imagining the negative part.
I gotcha.
Okay. Okay, now imagine the good things that you remember from the event or the good event. And let's spend at least a minute on this, and I'll count down in my head.
Okay, I'm just focusing on the good, right?
Okay, that's right. Okay. Now go back to imagining the unhappy part, but only for a few seconds.
Okay.
All right, then open your eyes. Now, in my book, I recommend about 5 minutes for the happy part, but I know we're limited in time here, so now think of, on a scale of 1 to 10, how thinking about the negative feels after you mixed it up with the positive.
It kind of diminishes it, kind of.
Yeah, that's
like, is that what I'm supposed to feel?
Well, that's the effect it has, you know, because studies have shown that you can flood negative feelings with positives, and the positive feelings always win out.
I also understood, now correct me if I'm wrong, doing anchoring, like when you're thinking about something positive, like take your index finger and your thumb and hold it down. When you think of, like, it's, say you had to go do a speech and you're very nervous and upset. So then you take your index fingers, both hands, push it down, and you think of, you condition yourself so that every time you do it, I think this is what you're talking about, flooding yourself with positive emotion. Is that correct?
Yes, you can use a physical anchor like that. Can help you. And then when you're making a speech, if you make that gesture or any gesture that you created that'll quell your anxiety and make you feel more confident and happy to give the speech, that could create your own cue to do it.
Oh, that's true. And I think verbal cues also help bring memories, bring your memories back. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. Verbal cues can. A word or even the tonality of something said can bring it back.
And music. Music is an excellent, right, too.
Oh, yes. Music is really, really a good thing, because a lot of tunes that were popular, like rock back in the 60s and 70s, or current music can bring back memories of things you were doing, and if it was a good time, like many people remember a song they heard on their first date, or maybe the day they got engaged, or some nice event, and when they were going over the bridge to their vacation destination, and when they hear that song, it makes them feel just how they did back then.
Oh, that's perfect, Frank. I'm going to give you the floor for the next 2 minutes. Tell everybody what's on your horizon, your new book, and how people can get in contact with you, your sessions, etc.
Okay, now, well, there's going to be a sequel to Heal Your Memories, Change Your Life.
Hey, hold the treasure.
Target date for publication. I'm interviewing these people who found meaning in their life through their traumatic memories. And I've interviewed 3 people already for it, and so that's going to come out in September. And meanwhile, Heal Your Memories, Change Your Life is available on Amazon Kindle for 99 cents, and it was a bestseller for part of February and March. And I've also I have a website, www.phenomenalmemory.com. And I also, it includes a monthly newsletter that you can sign up for free, as well as membership. So
there's a lot you can do to get in contact. You could also contact my email at frank@phenomenalmemory.com.
Wow, Frank. I mean, you have been just blown my mind away. Extraordinary. And what a gift. And to be able to take your gift and help others, I think you're doing a marvelous service to people and helping healing them. So thank you for being my guest.
Yes, it was a pleasure.
Okay. So I'm going to sign off with Frank Healy. Thank you so much. Okay. Everybody have a good day.
Thank you for tuning in this week. Your host, Suzanne Z. Pedro, will be back again next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for another edition of From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis. We hope you'll join us as well.